especially now. So my talk is on Pierre Clostres, primarily focusing on society against the state. This is a very much shorter version of about 4.5 hours of lectures I've been doing on Clostres this semester. It's also the beginning of the core of a third part of my dissertation, so I definitely appreciate feedback. And we're going to be engaging with the concept of action and what that means in relation to defining this thing that we call a state. You know, the state isn't just a thing that we can take as given, right? That there is, and this isn't an attempt to get at origins, this isn't an attempt to find a beginning point, but it is an attempt to draw delineation between what we may call everyday life and what we call a state. So the state is an entity which imposes its definitions. It defines our limits. It enforces itself through the police. The state exists as a condition of possibility for our actions, removed, yet an occupier of our streets and colonizer of our lives. But the state is something which is hard to pin down, part physical and part abstract, but operational nonetheless. The point of this talk is not to discuss the mechanism of occupation, but rather to strike to the heart or to get at the very possibility of the modern Leviathan that we call the state. The first point here, at this point in the talk, is to challenge a notion that the state is somehow a logical progression of the social. And here we begin to engage with Clostres and society against the state. The division has been drawn between the primitive and the modern. This distinction permeates discourse, particularly around the question of the state. That which, quote, saves us from the end of civilization, which of course also assumes that this end is a bad thing. This distinction is not made through positing that there is made through positing that there is an essential progression from statelessness to statism that progresses linearly, that those that lack states are somehow disadvantaged, that they lack something, within colonial or racist contexts, to describe them in colonial or racist contexts, that people are somehow less human, right? This is like the core of colonialism, this discussion of people being less civilized, less human. This conception can only be based in the linear conception of a linear power that progresses towards a hierarchical. Clostres actually, in Society Against the State, cites an anthropologist who uses such a scale. I believe it was on a 1 to 5 or something like that. Societies that were more statist were a 5, and societies that were less were a 1, right? It was actually framed as a quantity. This equates power with hierarchy. That somehow our ability to act, to exercise power, can only exist to the degree that it is an expression of hierarchy. Yet, as we will venture to show here, power and hierarchy are essential opposites. It is hierarchy itself that is the end of politics. It is the end of conflict and contestation, because all hierarchies must be able to judge. All must be able to be true in some sense, unchanging as a universal measure of all actions. They must be based in the very impossibility of there being something outside. Hierarchies are in this sense ontological. They define, essentially, the main point is that it is not only that societal, nonlinear, anarchic power is fundamentally other than the state. It is that this power, this energy, this movement, which constitutes the social, is that which disorganizes the very possibility of the state. In statist conceptions of power, there is an equation between power and command. This is telling, in that command is the very end of discourse. In the command, one not need understand, and must only become an appendage or expression of that which commands. In essence, they must obey, right? Kant's famous line in Perpetual Peace, think freely but obey, is very telling that he uses the word peace to describe that. It is in this conception of power qua hierarchy that power becomes the power of the police, the power to command, to suppress, to organize, and to enforce. And it is the police that is the end of politics. And that is why all politics is against the police. It is the politics itself that is conflict. It is politics itself that is indetermination. It is in conflict with the very possibility of our actions, ourselves, manifest. And it manifests because and as conflict. In Clostres, this power of the state is contrasted to the power of the chieftain. And it is here that the basis of our discussion will emanate. The chieftain fulfilled 3 roles, right? This is sort of a common thing talked about with Clostres. Firstly, The chieftain was a universal arbitrator, a facilitator of discussions, a negotiator between factions. In short, the chieftain preserved a certain overt stability within the social that also stabilized that position and protected it from the social schism. Secondly, the chieftain was a site for resource distribution, but a resource distribution as an infinite debt, as a duty, right? Not just something that was given freely, but as something that was required. This entrenched the chieftain within the interests of the social, right? Not as something unitary, but as something which flowed, as something which changed. Thirdly, the chieftain was one that was required to speak. And this speech operated as an intentional appearance of the mechanisms of the position of power without power, which is a term that's been used in sort of the analysis of postures, right? The chieftain as a position of power without power. Notice the difference here between the chieftain's duty to speak and the modern state's claim to premise stability on concealment of certain information. This is the difference between a duty and a right to speak, right? The state currently claims this right to speak as well as this right to be inarticulate. So the essential difference between the chief and the state lies in this speech, in this articulation. That command never articulates, it just asserts. It does not speak as an engagement and withdraw speech after the command. It reserves the right to speak and thus define. Thus command, order, suppress, and enforce, in other words, to police. For the chieftain, speech is a duty. It is required in order for the chief to exist. The chief exists in this sense as an externalization, as a projection into the sort of chaotic dynamics of the social itself. This speech is an act, and as such is affected and is an effect and can be affected. It assumes a power and thus an engagement, a collision, a divergence, and a certain entropy. The duty to speak in its social engagement is the impossibility of command. The command is also separate, quiet, as a setting of limits, as a definition of the social and thus of life. We live lives defined by command, by the police. The social exists as a collection of actions and effects, divergences and possibilities, as a co-immanence of self and context, subjective and objective. It is the breakdown of the dichotomy between the one and the many, and that the many is the one and the one is the many. That the one is nothing outside the dynamic movements of the many, or the divergent, not as a sum of parts, but as an energy, or as a collision of bodies and actions, conjunctions of effects that form the very possibilities of actions themselves, the shifting possibilities of life. This is a horizontalism of action, not because all actions are mediocre and equivalent, but because all actions are exactly the opposite. They're all singularities, that all are different because all actions have effects on the medium of action itself. And it is this equality of difference, this always mobile dynamic of conflicts and collisions, that prevents the possibility of positing a sameness or an equivalence. That we are all different, but formed in a context that itself is made up of actions and dynamic movements of actions and effects. In short, we are all formed in everyday life as a constantly mobile energy. All actions are equal in their difference. All actions are declarations of the existence of subjects. The very possibility of life and existence, even though this means that existence is constituted socially. That we act through a certain exteriorization, or we act socially. That in that actions or power is the power to affect and be affected. That we cannot act unless we generate this possibility, and this very possibility of possibility or divergence is the possibility of something other. That it is in this that the social itself, that is our everyday lives, are dynamic and social. And in this, that social action of divergence, the social itself becomes a multiplicity. That the energies of the internal dynamics of fragmentation, that it is both possibility and that which generates possibility. That this, in this sense, the state eliminates the very possibility of existence. That it presumes a sameness as something removed from, yet constitutive of, the very possibility of action. That it's something that can be expressed or lacked, right? Like in this traditional understanding of power being equated to hierarchy. That the state colonizes possibility, making itself the sole possibility of action as the appendage to command. That the state defines, that it defines a sameness, it defines an equivalence. And this is how the state can operate as something removed, as a state, as something which judges, because it itself stands separate from the social and becomes that which the social must express. That it is command which is expressed. That the state can only generate categories. And this is something which, if anyone's ever read police manuals, this is something absolutely endemic in cops developing strategies for crowd control, for instance, is this ability to always constantly be categorizing and generalizing and sort of projecting the future into the present, right? This understanding of who groups are, what they do, what their norms are, what they're capable of, right? This entire way of being able to form a strategy beforehand and project that into a current situation. That, again, the state can only generate categories. Categories of legality, categories of acceptance. I lost my place. All right, categories of permission and command. That the state itself is the end of discourse or the end of politics. And therefore, it is a limit on our ability to exist in the world. The end of conflict, or as Clausewitz would term it, peace. That action itself is the declaration of existence. And existence is action itself. That the ability to affect and be affected, to rupture and to stabilize. That actions cause rupture with the past and cause rupture due to the magnitude of action or the ability of an action to destroy categorization and equivalence. To create possibilities. That it is in this life that life itself is an ecstatic movement of creation and destruction. That this rupture of the action is the very possibility of existence, of the social, and of the constant impossibility of the state. That the impossibility of states arises from the very enacting of that which is social. So therefore, constant insurrection, this constantly mobile existence, is what it means for power to be embedded in the social as an action, as a conflict, as an energy, but not as an object, not as something which can be defined, but rather as a constant rupture, a constant mobility without end, and as a constantly multiplying possibility. And this is something that we see in Clausewitz very directly when he starts talking about power being embedded in the social as that which prevents states. That it's not that you smash a state, but it's that you make a state impossible. And this is something which was talked about endlessly after the Greek uprising last December, in that there were lots of ministers that were like expressing a certain frustration, not at property destruction, but at the complete inability of being able to mediate the conflict, right? There were no groups, there were no demands, there was no space taken. And on that level, there was no way to categorize what was going on because it was a constant mobility. And if we look at France, if we look at Russia, if we look at other sort of insurrectionary situations, Gil Dov wrote When Insurrections Die. One of the things he talks about is that insurrections die the moment they become categorized, the moment that they can be defined as an object, right? That it is in the very action of everyday life that we make states impossible. And that's my talk. Someone else?